determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Dr. Russell Blaylock, who was a neurosurgeon for many years, and of course he has retired from neurosurgery. He's spending full time doing research on so many of the medical issues we face today, and I find his material is certainly some of the finest material available. He writes a newsletter that's put out by Newsmax. And Russell, do you have the number? Last time I got so involved listening to what you, I forgot to get the number out. Do you have that number handy for the that people can call if they want to take your newsletter?
I don't have the number, but the website is www.blaylockreport.com.
All right, that's www.blaylockreport.com, and but I read the newsletter every time it comes, and I actually subscribe to it personally. I think it's that important. Anyway, are we getting, remember now, this is a new audience, not one we I've talked to before. What do you want to talk about today? Do you want to talk about what we talked about, the effect of vaccines, or what would you like to talk about?
Well, we can kind of tie all of this stuff in. You know, what we're learning is that so many diseases are due to a couple of things. We tend to think that all of these diseases, diabetes, hypertension, heart attacks, strokes, atherosclerosis, are due to different things. And so we start conceptualizing diseases that way. But what we're beginning to discover is that virtually all of these diseases are caused by chronic inflammation and free radical generation. And so that when you develop any sort of condition in which a part of your body is becoming inflamed for long periods of time, you begin to develop these diseases. Which disease develops depends on the effect of that inflammation. What organ does it affect the most? If it's affecting pancreas or insulin receptors, then you develop diabetes. If it's involving the walls of blood vessels, then you develop arteriosclerosis or hypertension. So the important thing that we've learned about that is that if you control the inflammation, the chronic inflammation, these diseases start to disappear. And one of the really startling findings was that, for instance, people who have what we call visceral fat, that's the fat that's inside of the abdomen, that fat has special cells that secrete inflammatory chemicals. They produce inflammation. We call these adipokines. And this is now being connected to a whole host of diseases, including strokes, heart attacks, arteriosclerosis, hypertension. All these diseases seem to be caused by an excess secretion of these inflammatory chemicals from that special fat cell.
And that's the, sort of the fellow that, like me, that's got sort of a beer belly. He's got and that's where these fat in the omentum, isn't it?
Right, right. And those fat cells are completely different from all these other fat cells. They're producing a special harmful chemical. And, for instance, they looked at some people who had surgery for obesity. And the people who had that visceral fat surgically removed, who were hypertensive or diabetic, their diabetes and hypertension disappeared. Even sleep apnea, they found about 87% of people who had sleep apnea, it disappeared when you remove that fat surgically.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who is a retired neurosurgeon who really has done some wonderful fundamental work in researching so many of the diseases that afflict people today. And as he points out, so many of the diseases, the diabetes and strokes and heart disease, many of these are related to the presence of free radicals, and these free radicals can be actually accentuated by the fact that there is fat tissues in the abdomen. Usually we call it the omentum, sort of a shield that hangs down over the front of the intestinal tract. And if you can get rid of that fat in the omentum, it is those cells specifically that actually secrete a certain types of what are they actually secreting, Russell?
Well, they're called cytokines. These are inflammatory chemicals. Your immune system uses a whole set of chemicals, these cytokines, and there's dozens and dozens of types of cytokines. But they produce inflammation, and they circulate through your body and cause all of these tissues to become inflamed. And when your tissue's inflamed, it produces just a ton of free radicals. All these free radicals are being formed, and that damages these cells. And that's if it's damaging the lining of your arteries, then it produces arteriosclerosis. If it's damaging your heart, then it can produce heart failure. In fact, they even found that people who have heart failure have high levels of these cytokines. And people who have sleep apnea have high levels of these cytokines. So we're now understanding that this chronic overactivation of the immune system, which produces the inflammation, is leading to a whole lot of diseases. Now, when you realize that, then you begin to think, well, what's happening when you artificially stimulate the immune system and do it repetitively? And a big good example of what you would see in normal society would be vaccination. When you're vaccinated, your immune system becomes hyperactive, and you produce all of these cytokine chemicals, and it does a certain amount of damage to your body. Well, in a normal infection, what happens is you get infected, the virus gets into your body, for instance, your immune system activates, it produces a lot of these cytokines that kills the virus, and then everything cools down, and then the repair process just fixes everything that was damaged. Well, what happens when you vaccinate somebody is you put these powerful, powerful chemicals in the vaccine that cause the immune system to really act intensely and to do so for a long period of time. For instance, they found that using aluminum adjuvants, which is in all the vaccines, can cause the immune system to be overactive for as long as a year, sometimes as long as 2 years.
Hold that thought, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon, Dr. Russell Blaylock, is simply talking about the fact that these hormones in the fat produce cytokines, it produces inflammation, and creates some many, many problems. But certainly when we immunize people, when we give them a shot, a vaccine of one sort, an influenza shot, a childhood shot, so many of the vaccines, and they all carry aluminum adjuvants. They're specifically designed to mobilize the immune system, but unlike the normal response we get to an infection, where you have an infection, your body mobilizes an immune response, and that's the end of it. As soon as get over the disease, the immune response begins to decrease. When you give the vaccines, you mobilize the immune system for years at a time, and with that, of course, this immune response will affect not only the body, but also, we'll be talking about the influence on the brain. That is one of the most frightening things. And the average doctor has no idea, because he's been told, vaccines are wonderful. Look at all the lives they've saved. And yet nobody questions why there's so much increased disease. So pick up the story there, Russell.
Yeah, and what we see with each vaccination, you get this overactivity. Well, now we have so many vaccines being added to the vaccine schedule, for our average child, they're getting about 33 vaccines before they go to school. That's an enormous activation of their immune system, and that has some serious consequences on the brain. And when we look through the scientific literature, and I've looked through hundreds of papers studying this, what you find out is when you overstimulate the immune system by vaccination, it causes the brain to become inflamed. And when you see little children who go to the doctor and they get four or five vaccines at one time, and then they come home and all night long they're crying and having a fit, and nothing you do can calm them down. All night long they're just up screaming and having this fit. Most parents assume, it's just due to the pain of the vaccine. But our modern studies found out, no, that's not what it is at all. What happens is the vaccination produces an intense immune response. The child develops inflammation of his brain, and it's the inflammation of the brain that's producing the screaming and hollering. And this has been well shown. It's also why the child develops fever. A lot of parents know as well, my child developed fever, and they gave him some Tylenol to control the fever. Well, it controls the fever, but it doesn't control the other brain responses, the inflammation, the brain swelling. And this is why when we look at vaccinations in relation to sudden infant death, we see that after a series of these vaccines, there's a higher incidence of certain children dying within either a day or as long as a week after vaccination barrage. You know, there's four, five, six, seven vaccines at once. And these children will die in their crib, and it's because it's a brain death. The brain becomes inflamed. It paralyzes their ability to breathe. And they'll undergo sudden death. Now, we're even seeing this in adults. Recently, in the journal Neurology, which is the premier journal for the neurologists, they had an article that came out that proved beyond a doubt that inoculating adults with hepatitis B vaccine increases the risk of developing multiple sclerosis 300%. Within 3 years of getting the vaccine. That's an enormous increase in multiple sclerosis. They don't deny it. They just say, well, it's just so important that we prevent hepatitis B, you're just going to have to take that risk. Well, you know, hepatitis B in most instances is not a fatal disease. It's not even a crippling disease. The people, that small percentage who have chronic active hepatitis, you can control it with nutritional supplementation and immune regulation, but you can't control multiple sclerosis. It's a much more devastating disease for a lot of people. So here in this 300% increase, you're giving a terrible chronic disabling disorder to people to prevent a disease for which they're not even at risk anyway.
And of course, the thing is that for the average individual, you're just not going to get hepatitis B. You get this if maybe if you're a drug user, if you're homosexual, if you're sexually promiscuous, and then of course there is a small incidence in healthcare personnel. But it's a very, very small incidence if you're careful. You know, although they want all healthcare workers to be immunized. Because, of course, they come in contact with blood. Why, you know, through the years that I practice medicine, I can only remember one person who actually contracted hepatitis B, you know, and he was an anesthesiologist who was very, very, he used to do all sorts of things that just defy the imagination.
Exactly. You know, it's not a high-risk disease for most people. And what's of real concern is we've vaccinated millions of children hepatitis B vaccine. We don't know what's going to happen to them. When they become teenagers, are they going to come down in high percentages with multiple sclerosis or some other autoimmune disease? Well, we don't know. Do the vaccine authorities know? No, they don't know. Are they even checking to follow these children to see? No, there's no effort whatsoever to follow these children and see what's going to be the consequence of giving this hepatitis B at birth. Now, they begin to question the idea of doing it because they found that when you do vaccinate a child at birth, because their immune system is immature or not fully developed, they have abnormal immune reactions, completely different than an adult, and we don't know exactly what that's going to do. So here we've subjected millions of children in this country to an experimental vaccine program for which we have no idea the consequences are going to be 10, 20 years from now.
And I really think that parents have to understand they're experimenting on your children. And if they find, as they have with so many other treatments, that 20 years from now, it's going to create disastrous results, they're going to say, oh, shucks, well, just too bad. You know, but you'll have no comeback at that time. And this is a great tragedy, so much of what's going on. And so many of the medications, they're experimenting with the American people.
Well, one thing that just baffles me that parents don't understand, and a lot of physicians don't seem to understand, when you look at the vaccine medical literature, when you go to the scientific journals, the peer-reviewed journals, and you look up, well, how long do these vaccines actually protect you? You know, children are getting 33 inoculations. And what the vaccine authorities talk about in their journals is the fact that these vaccines don't really protect you for more than 2 to 3 years, 10 at the most. and they're concerned about it, and they don't really know what to do about it, but they keep it secret from the public because they want everybody to think, well, you're protected against diphtheria, and you're protected against pertussis, and you're protected against all these diseases. In actuality, the studies show that the protection was long gone, and so most of the people out here who have been vaccinated as children have no protection whatsoever from any of these diseases. They just think they do. And the public health authorities are making them believe they do. And so they keep vaccinating more children with this idea that, oh, this will give them lifelong protection. And yet the scientific literature says, no, it doesn't. It doesn't even last 4 years. And that's why now they're secretly trying to say, well, you know, every 4 years we need to revaccinate them, which would be an absolute disaster if you're revaccinating with this, 10, 15, 20 vaccines every 4 years. You're going to produce so many autoimmune diseases and brain disorders and degenerative brain disorders. We're going to fill up all of our hospitals and long care facilities in the United States. It would be an absolute disaster.
And we find autoimmune diseases increasing. Immune disease or allergies are increasing. Asthma is increasing. I think something like 1 in 6 children has asthma in America. You don't find this in other areas. You don't find it in the Mennonite and certainly in the other children, that where they do not have vaccinations. There are certain groups in America that, do not take vaccinations.
I mean, all you have to do is ask your physician, when was the last time you ever saw a case of diphtheria? Have you ever known a physician that's ever seen a case of diphtheria? You've practiced longer than I have, but in my almost 30 years of being in the medical field, I've never seen a case of diphtheria. Yet here the scientific literature is saying, well, most people who've been vaccinated weren't protected anyway. So we've gone all these years with no protection against diphtheria, yet diphtheria has not killed anyone in the United States. At most, if you look at the CDC literature, they say, or occasionally we have 1 to 2 cases of diphtheria appear, and that's usually immigrants who come into the country and bring it with them. It's just an illusion that if you don't get this diphtheria for your child, then not only are you endangering your child, but then you're endangering the whole community, because your child could spread this epidemic and kill all these children. And it's an absolute lie, because most of the children that have been vaccinated aren't protected anyway.
And, of course, really what's so interesting, I'm sure you've probably seen those charts. If you go back to the early 1900s, a certain number of children did, a significant number of children died of diphtheria. But by the time they got around to giving the diphtheria shots in immunizations in America, I think there was something like 30 children a year, had come down from, 11,000 down to 30, and they were all, these crowds, death from childhood diseases, were falling and falling dramatically before we ever started the immunization, simply because of good nutrition, which prevented people from coming down with a lot of the diseases.
Oh, absolutely. And this has been proven beyond the shadow of doubt. When you look at the mortality of mumps, measles, diphtheria, pertussis, all of them fell precipitously before any vaccine program was ever begun. Some as much as 80% mortality had fallen. Yet the vaccine authorities now take credit for it. Oh, look at all the diseases we conquered with our vaccine program. And they're lying, because these death rates were falling precipitously before they started.
And yet there's not 1 in 1,000 doctors who really knows that. And it wasn't until actually I got these records actually from the University of California Library here and actually held them in my hands, I could really believe that all the things I'd been told in all my years of medical training, so many of them just were not at all true. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're talking about the vaccines. And believe me, we see a rise of autism in America. 1 in 6 American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Why don't they see it in the Mennonite children? Well, they don't take vaccines. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, our guest, Dr. Russell Blaylock, and I was saying that in the Amish and the Mennonite children, they do not have so many of the diseases we see in the general population where, of course, children are really almost forced to take these vaccinations of very, very questionable value. So pick up the story there, Russell.
Exactly. You have these large populations of these people who do not take the vaccine for religious reasons. These are not the sources of epidemics, as the CDC and the health departments constantly are crying that, oh, if we don't vaccinate these children, it's going to be a seedbed of the pandemic. Well, it should be happening in these Mennonite communities and the Amish communities. It's not happening. They seem to have less disease than everyone else. They have less asthma. They have less autoimmune disorders. All of these things are for lower incidence than we're seeing in all this vaccinated society. And one of the things that's really concerned people who are looking at this objectively, and it's still kept secret from the public, but it's in the journals, and that is that this over-vaccination is actually destroying the immune system, which makes sense, because if you overstimulate the immune system for years at a time, it burns the immune system out, particularly if your nutrition is very poor. Because you're putting so much stress on that immune system, which requires it to have a lot of nutrition to keep functioning, eventually it's going to burn out. And that's what we're beginning to see, is that people's immunity overall is beginning to decline in the countries that vaccinate the most. And that puts them at actually higher risk of developing serious infections and pandemics because of the vaccine policy. Now, one of the other things that is never discussed, and that is the danger of injecting live viruses in people. We were taught in medical school, as you remember very well, that, well, these dangerous viruses like measles and mumps and rubella, they're attenuated. And that means they take these dangerous viruses and they start passing through these cultures. And eventually the virus will lose its ability to produce disease, even though it looks just like the real measles virus. And then supposedly, theoretically, you inject this measles virus in people. They won't develop measles, but they'll develop full immunity to measles. And this was how your MMR vaccine came about, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. But these are live viruses. Well, now what we've discovered is that in a growing number of people, these viruses are not killed by the immune system. They persist in the body. For instance, they looked at people who were dying of natural causes in their elderly years, and they examined their brain and their other organs to see if they could find live measles virus. They found live measles virus in 20% of the people's brain, and 40% of the other organs. So 40% of the people had live viruses growing in their internal organs. 20% of them had live virus growing in their brain. Measles virus. Now the danger there is what we've also discovered is that when these viruses sit in your body for long periods of time, in this case for a lifetime, because you're producing free radicals and inflammation, that causes the genetics of the virus to mutate, and it can turn back into a fully virulent virus, but it can act differently. So instead of producing measles as a disease, and this has been proven in certain cases, you can produce otitis media, you can produce...
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we were talking about this idea of creating vaccines, say, measles or rubella, and what they do is then they grow the viruses, and they pass them through other stages, probably in chickens or something of the sort, and the virus changes, and then, of course, you immunize people with this attenuated virus that doesn't produce the disease, or really, really a very mild form of the disease. But Dr. Blaylock, like I was saying, that then later, many, many years later, why, when these people get very old or they die, they evaluate them and they find out that the attenuated measles virus is still in them. In other words, it's there, it's hiding in the brain, it's hiding in the tissues. 20% of the brains, 40% of the other tissues would have these attenuated measles virus that are there. And, of course, they're doing damage all the time they're there. And how do they get in the body? Why they were put there with a syringe. The normal measles virus doesn't hang on the whole lifetime, does it?
No. I mean, if you catch measles as a child naturally, your immune system eradicates. But now that we have all this immune suppression by over-vaccination, and then you give this vaccine, you're going to have the problem of viral persistence. That is, the virus just lives on in you. But like I say, that because it's sitting in your body while all these free radicals are generating, that mutates the virus so that it now becomes a different type of virus producing different diseases. For instance, they've connected the measles virus to multiple sclerosis, to Alzheimer's disease, to Parkinson's disease, all sorts of diseases that normally measles does not produce. If you let it mutate in your body, it will produce different diseases. And so mumps virus, rubella virus, chickenpox virus, all these live viruses that they're injecting our children and pregnant women with and college students with, that's going to produce disease down the line. Even some of these things are connected with cancer. For instance, the polio virus was contaminated with SV40. Well, now we're finding that exact species of SV40 virus in brain tumors. We're finding it in medulloblastoma, a terrible tumor found in children. We're finding it in ependymomas. We're finding even in meningiomas, which is considered a benign brain tumor, but it can kill you if it gets big enough. So here it has been isolated and proven to cause commonly found tumors that, as a neurosurgeon, I used to see all the time. And no one is telling the public, well, we can connect this to a vaccine program, and that these other viruses we're promoting and telling you to inject your children with, they may indeed cause these diseases later on as well, but we're not going to tell you about that. You know, it's just they really hated to tell this story about the hepatitis D and the multiple sclerosis, but, you know, that's in the literature. And the number of disorders that we're finding like that that's connected to these vaccines continues to grow. We're finding more and more all the time.
Well, you know, basically, the original polio vaccine, the Salk polio vaccine, was they experimented with it in Russia. They gave it to the Russian population for a time, and then, of course, they used it here. But later on, they found out that there was a cancer-producing virus. It produced cancer in animals, and they assumed it would produce cancer here, but they couldn't tell the American people that. Isn't it interesting that in Russia today, the average man dies at age 58, whereas here in the United States, we live a great deal longer. But now, I'm not saying nobody will certainly look into this. Why? Because if the American people ever realized that the public health authorities have consistently lied to us and there was a cancer-producing virus in the original polio vaccine, would you ever trust them again? And, of course, we have to. We can't tell the people that. They're not smart enough to realize that the people in charge are so much smarter than we are. They know what's good for us, and, yes, they've made a few mistakes here and there. I mean, they gave us polio vaccine, well, for the cancer virus, and then, of course, when they found that, they changed to the green monkey, and then they gave us all their cytomegalic viruses. And every time you take these live vaccines, for instance, the measles, you get the chicken viruses. What effect do all these viruses have, Russell?
Well, they even admitted it. You know, there's an article in which they looked at a manufactured form of a virus that was used in vaccines that they use chickens to make. And they said, well, when they tested it, they found a high percentage of these vaccines actually had chicken sarcoma viruses in it, cancer-causing in chickens. And they asked the virologist, well, what effect is that going to have on all these children that have been injected? And their answer was, well, we don't really know. We have no idea what it's going to do. But we don't think it's going to hurt you. You know, well, I don't want my child injected with a carcinogenic chicken virus. And all the virologists are saying, well, I don't think it's going to hurt you. I don't know.
And even today, we carry this book, The Virus and the Vaccine. This is the story of the original polio virus with the cancer in it. And they're doing everything they can. They're lying. They're lying through their teeth to keep the American people from knowing. Because if you knew, you wouldn't trust them anymore. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. And if any of you are out there in the audience and you'd like to get an authoritative story of the background of how they contaminated almost our entire population with a cancer virus, the book was published under the auspices of the National Institute of Health. It is called The Health Sensory. It's written by Edward Shorter. It's out of print, but I'm sure you can buy a used copy, as I have on several occasions. And it tells of the whole story of how they gave this cancer-producing virus to the entire population. And then they laughed about it because, of course, the Olympics were coming up. The Russians had been doing so well before that. He wasn't very popular because this is the sort of thing they do not want the American people to know. So pick up the story there, Russell.
Right. And now when the SV40 contaminated virus that was in all of these polio vaccines, which millions of people received, it's estimated that something like 98 million people worldwide were vaccinated with this contaminated vaccine. Well, when researchers began to look at the SV40 virus, they knew it caused cancer in monkeys and in certain species.
Hamsters.
But they denied it. They kept denying it. They said, oh, well, we don't have any absolute proof. Well, one of the researchers looked at it and absolutely proved beyond any question of the at all that it produced cancer in animals. That SV40 was a cancer-causing virus, produces a sarcoma, a very malignant tumor. But despite the fact that this research had proved it beyond all doubt, they still refused to admit it. And so they concocted a lot of studies in which were what we call epidemiologic studies. These are looking at large populations, if there's any increase in cancer. Well, you can manipulate those studies to tell you anything you want to, and that's why they picked them. And they did these studies, and of course people were moving in and out of the cities, and so if they could doctor these up, make it look like there was no increased incidence in cancer. When researchers begin to look directly at tumors and say, well, let's look at human tumors and see if we find this SV40 virus in it. And so, sure enough, they begin to find tumors that had SV40 in it, lymphomas, leukemias, these brain tumors, they were turning up this SV40. Well, the defense of the vaccine people, oh, that's just a contaminating virus. It's not actually the cause of the tumor. Well, a virologist...
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest, is Dr. Russ Blaylock, and he's telling the story of what happened when they found that it contaminated almost the entire population with simian virus 40 in the original Salk and Sabin vaccines. And so pick up the story there, Russell.
Yeah, at this point, what the virologist did, and this is a big-name virologist, is he typed the tumor. That is, you look at the genetics of the virus in the tumor and the characteristics of that virus, and you can prove whether or not the tumor was caused by the virus itself and not just a contaminant. So he did that very meticulously, very carefully. He had it published in one of the very prestigious virology journals and proved beyond any doubt that SV40 was causing these human tumors, including some very common tumors in childhood, like the medulloblastoma. And despite the fact that he had done this so meticulously, the government still denied it. And so what they did is they went off and did another epidemiologic study. They would not look at the laboratory data that proved it beyond any shadow of the doubt, because they did not want to admit that they did this on purpose. Because, and the reason I say this on purpose, because in the beginning, they accidentally had done it. They didn't realize the virus was in there until they'd already given it to millions of people. But once it was discovered, they made a conscious decision to keep giving this contaminated virus anyway. In fact, in Great Britain, there was discussion in Parliament whether or not to give the vaccine, since it was known to have a cancer-causing virus, and they decided purposely to go ahead and give it to millions of Britons. And so, this is after the fact. So, you know, then you have a situation that's even worse. It's not an accidental exposure. It's purposefully exposing millions of more people around the world to a contaminated vaccine.
Well, I think it's really an amazing, amazing story. And the fact that the average person has never heard this reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. We do carry the book, The Virus and the Vaccine. And, of course, you can also get the book entitled The Health Sensory. You'll have to get that through Amazon.com, published by the National Institute of Health. It tells you exactly the same story. But, of course, poor old Dr. Shorter, who wrote the book, had to move to Canada. After all, you're not supposed to tell the American people the truth. They might even believe it. Go ahead, Dr. Russell.
Well, and now, the other thing about it is they went out on a campaign to destroy all existing vials of the contaminated SC Fortis polio vaccine that they stopped giving, I think, in 1968 or 69. So they destroyed all of the lots so scientists couldn't go back and look at them, type the genetics of the virus, and prove that it was in the tumor. Well, by a piece of luck, this virologist was looking for some of these vials, and there was a doctor that happened to live in the very same town he did, who had been a general practitioner, and he saved about 20 vials of this polio vaccine from the 50s. And so he gave it to this virologist researcher and said, you can have it. And that was the way that he typed that virus and proved that it's the very one that's in the tumors that we're finding in children today. So that, slipped by the government censors. They weren't able to destroy this stock of polio vaccine from the 1950s. And that proved it beyond any shadow of doubt. A very interesting story.
But, you know, Russell, I doubt that 1 in 1,000 doctors has any idea what you and I are talking about.
Oh, I would put 1 in 100,000 never heard of.
You know, it wasn't until I got out of medicine and really had the time to start reading these books and doing the research and talking to people and beginning to question what I'd been taught in medical school and what I really believed. And then it suddenly what a horrible awakening to realize that some of the things we've been advocating have actually been terribly harmful for people, and many people have died because of it.
Well, the same with me. You know, I was just like everybody else who graduated from medical school and residency training. I believed all of this stuff. I didn't know these things about vaccines, and I had my children vaccinated. No thought about it. I thought that was safe and thing to do. It was only after this that I began to look into the literature and start questioning things. The more I looked, the more I found. The more I found, the more shocked I was that so much is known and so much is that's being done to the American public is predicated on a set of lies that are making people billions of dollars. These vaccine and pharmaceutical companies are making fortunes out of scaring mothers and scaring people into getting vaccinated. I mean, look at the elderly and their flu vaccine. Every year they stand in line. They can't wait to go get it. They're so proud they get it. I was listening the other day, sitting in a public place, and I was listening to these two elderly women talking, and they were just so proud that they got their flu vaccine and just excited about it and telling the other one where she could go get hers. And I'm thinking, you have no idea what you're doing to yourself.
Why don't you tell them about Dr. Pudenberg's work? I think that is so important when we're talking about the influenza vaccine that they insist we have to give it to the elderly and to 6-month-old children, knowing full well it has toxic doses of mercury and will damage the brains of the children and to pregnant women. And there you've really got a grid whammo of mercury to poison the brain. So why don't you explain about Dr. Pudenberg's work and what they're doing to pregnant women today?
Yeah, Dr. Pudenberg is one of the world-renowned immunologists. He's printed written most of the textbooks that immunologists use for years. And along with some other researchers, they did a study looking at what happens when people take flu vaccine every year, particularly the elderly. So he looked at people age 55 and above who took the flu vaccine every year for 5 years in a row, as compared to people who took it far less or not at all. And what he found is that the incidence of Alzheimer's disease in those who took it every year for 5 years was 10 times higher than those who either took it never or just 1 or 2 times in that period. So the more you take this vaccine, the more you increase your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. And I'm sure if you look at it, it's going to be also other diseases like Parkinson's disease, ALS, all these other diseases are also going to increase in incidence because they're all caused by the same thing, and that is immune overactivation. If you look at the research in Alzheimer's disease now, everyone now is convinced that Alzheimer's disease is a chronic inflammation of the brain due to overactivation of the immune system, particularly the brain's immune system. And the people who have Alzheimer's disease have the highest level of these cytokines. And these vaccines produce high levels of these cytokines. So, you know, it makes sense what he's discovered. Now, what's so incredible about this is now the vaccine authorities want every child from age 6 months to 18 to have the flu vaccine every year. They want all pregnant women to have the flu vaccine every year. They want teenagers to have the flu vaccine every year. They want all diabetics to have the flu vaccine. It just goes on and on and on. They keep adding groups so that we have millions, tens of millions of people who are supposed to be getting this flu vaccine every year. Now, if you start at age 6 months to 18 months and you get the flu vaccine every year, do you realize how many vaccines that is? It's far greater than those five vaccines that Thunberg found to increase Alzheimer's tenfold. It's a tremendous increased risk of not just Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, but diabetes and asthma and autoimmune disorders, lupus, thyroiditis, all of these different things that we know are related to immune overactivity are going to increase. So when we look at modern society as compared to, say, 50 years ago, when there were far fewer vaccines, that's exactly what we see. Every immune-related disease is increasing in incidence exponentially. It's just this tremendous growth in these disorders. One of the things we've even learned about cancer is a chronic inflammatory disorder. And when they looked at people who developed cancer and they looked back in their history, they found out that about 70% of people who developed cancer had chronic inflammation as much as 17 years before they finally developed the cancer. Which makes sense, because having inflammation in your body for 17 years produces all these free radicals, which damages your DNA, which is what causes cancer. So we're not really surprised by the finding, but here we have this policy. We're going to vaccinate people every year, and we're going to put mercury in them, which is a carcinogenic compound, and aluminum, which is a carcinogenic compound, every year of their life. And then we're going to say, well, gee, we can't really figure out why cancer incidence is increasing. Of course it's increasing. Well, they can't figure out why there's so much lupus now, that it's increasing in such large numbers. Well, it's an autoimmune disease. It's produced by overactivation of the immune system. They don't understand why there's an increase in multiple sclerosis of such proportions. Well, it's no surprise. You're immunizing people with a vaccine that is known to increase the incidence 300% within 3 years of getting a vaccine. So, you know, we're not surprised at what we're seeing now in modern society. People are developing all these diseases in huge numbers at an earlier age of their life because of this insane policy of injecting them with vaccine. Like you said, the flu vaccine has a full dose of mercury in it. So here's elderly whose brain is weaker than a younger person. You're giving them mercury vaccines every year, and that damages their brain cell. You're giving them aluminum. Aluminum accumulates in the brain, and there is considerable evidence that aluminum plays a major role in Alzheimer's disease. And when you have mercury and aluminum together, the damaging effect of the brain is infinitely greater. They have synergistic toxicity. And this is what we're looking at. And interestingly, when you look at experimental animals, if you produce inflammation in their brain, even slightly, and then you add mercury, and then you add aluminum, the damage is magnified enormously. So that we shouldn't be surprised at all. We're seeing this tremendous increase in Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's and ALS and all these terrible diseases because we've done it to our society.
And, you know, I think it's so hard for people to really believe this. Many of you out there would like to see the page of Dr. Futenberg's webpage and give us a call. I copied it. We'll be glad to send you a copy of it. Just the abstract of his article. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If there was really 1,000% increase in Alzheimer's disease after taking a series of influenza shots, wouldn't you think every doctor would know that? Wouldn't you think that every individual would know that? Wouldn't you think that the Centers for Disease Control and the NIH and all of these organizations that are supposed to be there guarding our health would certainly be putting an end to this foolishness? But they're not, and we have to ask, why?
Exactly. I mean, when we have this much evidence, and this is what the public doesn't understand, this is not just a hypothesis or conjecture. We have enormous, enormous amount of evidence of the harmful effect of this vaccine policy. You know, the conference that I wrote about that they had in Norcross, Georgia, where all of these scientists, some 50 different scientists, collected together to look at the vaccine data based on what was happening to these children getting this dose of mercury over a certain period of time. The conclusion of the conference was that it is producing neurodevelopmental problems, particularly language problems in children, in an enormous rate. It was over 248% increase in language developmental problems. That is, the children have difficulty using and learning language. Their mental capabilities are decreased. A 248% increase that they admitted to secretly in their conference. But the results of that conference were never released to the public because they didn't want to know them. But one of the participants in the conference, who was a scientist and leader of the scientific group, he stood up and said, well, last night my daughter had a male child, the first male child in our family, and I'll be darned if that child's going to get one of these vaccines until we find out what's going on here. So for his grandchild, he wasn't going to let that child get this vaccine, but for yours, well, I'm sorry, we're going to keep this secret and not let you know what we know. You know, in secret conferences, these scientists know it. There were three of the major pharmaceutical companies that were in attendance to this conference. They never said a single word during the entire conference. They know what's going on. They know that their vaccines are producing this problem, and they're keeping it secret.
And one in six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. It never was like this before. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to check this out. You need to find out if it's true. And then if it's true, you need to help us. Well, let's go to Chuck, who's calling in from Michigan. Hi, Chuck. Did you have a question for Dr. Vilela?
Yes, sir. I guess my main question is, we know all the damage that's going on with their kids and whatnot. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I remember taking the polio vaccine on the little sugar tube with the red dot and the whole... My question is, I mean, how are they getting away with this stuff? I mean, they know that our kids are being damaged. They're, you know, crib death and autism, on and on. How are they getting away with this without being prosecuted?
All right, let's let Dr. Blaylock answer that. How are they getting away with it, Russell?
Well, what they do is what they always do. They will concoct a phony study that says what's obvious is not true. For instance, with the autism connection to the vaccine, a considerable amount of data came out saying that there was this tremendous increase in autism. Well, what was the government scientist's response and the government's response and the pharmaceutical companies? Well, we don't see that there's any increase in autism at all. We did a study. We couldn't find any increase in autism.
And then they hid the database, and then the scientist who'd worked for the CDC, who'd done the study that showed the connection, he just happened to get a job working for GlaxoSmithKline and Friends that puts that out. Now, you would think of all the scientists in the world, why would they hire the one scientist who'd had access to the CDC database and found there was a problem? Why do you think they hired him? That's how it's done, Chuck.
And the researcher, or group of researchers, who were honest and objective and asked for this CDC data, the Center for Disease Control data, the Center for Disease Control refused to give it to them. They had to file a lawsuit to get the data released so they could study it. And when they studied it, you saw why the government didn't want to release it, because it proved beyond the shadow of doubt that the vaccines were responsible for the astronomical increase in autism, ADD, ADHD, and language developmental problems.
And that's what it's all about, Chuck. The fact that you're not hearing about it except on programs like this, it reflects the degree of control that exists over the media and ultimately then of what the American people think. Hey, look, thanks so much for calling, Chuck. Bye-bye. We share your concern. Well, our guest today is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're talking about, well, we're talking about vaccines, and we're talking about the inflammation that comes from the vaccines. We're talking about the fact that there have been cancer viruses in the original polio vaccine, and there's so much more to the story. It'll take hours to do it, but we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Russell, you've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Okay, well, I hope that I've put over the message that you can't trust the government, you can't trust the vaccine companies, and you particularly can't trust the major media. The media is receiving so much advertising money from these companies, and dependent on a good relationship with the government to get their stories, that they're not going to tell you these things. They're not going to invite these scientists who can prove these things on their stations, because they'll lose their advertisers. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of advertising that are spent. For instance, Pfizer spent over $248 million just promoting an insomnia drug. $248 million. So we're talking about huge amounts of advertising money that keeps publications quiet, keeps TV stations quiet, keeps a lot of radio stations quiet, and there's just a few stations and publications are willing to tell this story. But if you check the scientific data and you look at the people that are doing this work, it's credible material, and it absolutely proves this beyond a shadow of doubt. So, you know, you need to listen, you need to study, and you need to pay attention to the people that are trying to warn you.
And I really think, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to realize that your health is really up to you. And let me just mention, Dr. Blaylock has written a wonderful book called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. It's the number two bestseller at Radio Liberty, second only to Brotherhood of Darkness. And let me recommend it to you. I know my wife certainly uses that book as a Bible. When, of course, what they do is they disguise so many things that at the food store, and if you don't realize knows the fancy names they give it, why, you could be poisoning your family. And then, of course, his book, Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, and Health, and his book on natural strategies for cancer patients. Well, Russell, one more minute, and then I'm going to let you go.
Well, I appreciate it. And, of course, it's always important to pray. We need to pray to God, tell him our concerns. We need to join together as religious people. It's our only defense against this terrible onslaught that we're facing. And the forces that are making the big bucks out of all of this to promote these programs are infinitely powerful, and they're terrifying people into doing something that's going to destroy their health, particularly the mothers who have small children. They're terrified, so they just, you know, they'll go down there and they'll let that pediatrician vaccinate their child with five or six vaccines in one sitting, and they don't understand what they're doing to their children, and it's, so much of it is irreversible.
Well, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so very much.
God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Dr. Russell Blaylock. And, of course, we if you'd like the entire hour, you can get a tape from us, and there is much more that was covered during the interludes for advertising. But Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, is must reading for anybody who wants to know what's going on. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. His book on excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, goes into the NutraSweet that they're using to produce the pathological obesity in the American people. They know why, where all this obesity comes from. They just don't want you to know that they're poisoning your children and destroying their minds with aspartic acid, with NutraSweet, and with MSG products. So, and then his third book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We had one of our callers, regular listeners, call in and tell me that her daughter or daughter-in-law had a cancer and was going in for treatment with chemotherapy, and she followed Dr. Blaylock's suggestions in this book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, and she didn't get sick, and her hair didn't fall out, and the oncologist was looking after it, couldn't understand why her hair didn't fall out, everybody else's hair fell out. Well, you'll certainly want to get these books. They're available. I have a four-tape set with Dr. Blaylock entitled Life-Saving Secrets. And then we have so much other material on statin drugs and a four-tape set on statin drugs and a book on statin drugs. I got an excellent book on magnesium, and of course magnesium is so important, and most people don't understand the importance of its use. We have certainly a book, Death by Medicine and Death by RX, two different books. I think medication and what the drug companies are using are doing to the American people. Dr. Marcia Angel's book. Dr. Marcia Angel is a professor at Harvard. She was the editor of the most prestigious medical journal in the United States. Her book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, got such a vehement attack by the drug industry that she will not even answer her emails. They will destroy your life if you tell the truth. That's The Truth About the Drug Companies. All of these are available from Radio Liberty. And then, of course, to look into the forces behind this, you need to get my talk. It's available on DVD or video. It's called Planned Population Reduction. It's almost 2.5 hours. Planned Population Reduction. We simply explain to you that it is not simply profit, although most people think that what's going on is about for profit, and I'm sure that some people are in it for profit. But there are also spiritual forces behind what is going on, because there are people who look at the world through a different prism, because they worship a different God, and they hate humanity. I know, I've been to the CDC, I've talked to the people there, some of the people good, some of the people totally evil. And then, of course, we look today, we look to the CDC to protect us. 500,000 Americans are dead of AIDS, another 1 million are infected, predominantly, of course, homosexuals, predominantly in the black community. People say it's not my problem, it's their problem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they've allowed this epidemic to kill 500,000 Americans. There are 60 million Americans today with a sexually transmitted viral disease, thanks to the very excellent work of our public health officials across America. What does that suggest to you? Is that a failed public health policy or a very, very successful policy to destroy the lives of young human beings? They've lied to our people. They're lying to them today. You need to get the facts, and that's what Radio Liberty is all about. I do what I do because I'm trying to get you to check and try to prove me wrong. If you'd like the information on the statin drugs and you can't afford any of the material we have, just call and ask for the article from the Physician's Desk reference on Crestor. That's on Crestor, a statin drug. If you want Dr. Fudenberg's article about, the 1,000% increase in the incidence of Alzheimer's disease after you've followed your doctor's advice and taken your flu shot like a good little boy or girl, why, of course, we'll send that to you free of charge. But get the other information as well. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.